the inconsistency of the fatherless. But his lord answering said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I did not scatter. Thus you should have deposited my money with the exchangers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Matthew 25, verse 26 and 27. In the parable of the entrusted talents, from which we took a few verses, the one servant who was unwilling appears. He thought that he could classify his master by one word, despot. His lord exploited someone else for the benefit of himself. We, however, know that in the parable, the lord of the servants is a figure of the Father in heaven. The servants are those who are required to work for him. And behold, that one servant knows the owner of the whole garden only as a despot and not as friend and father. Oh, in itself, that word despot is not so terrible yet. The Bible itself uses it, for example, in Revelation 6 verse 10, to honor God as the completely sovereign one, who alone has dominion, who takes everyone in his service, and who is not accountable to anyone. But the same Bible commands us to address our despot, who is in the heavens, also as our Father, who is in the heavens. Only in the connection of these two names, one knows him correctly and addresses him correctly. Whoever detaches the despotism of God from his fatherhood enhances a lie. The more Setzavan obstinately abstracts that term despot from that of fatherhood, and thus considers despotism by itself, as if that is possible, the more terrible is his error. For he intends to assess God, but it is only a consideration. Soon his attitude to life will become more deceptive, and his inconsistencies will become more and more debased. Just look at that servant again. He does not waste the money, the treasure that was entrusted to him, nor squanders or embezzles it. The only thing he does with it is nothing. He does not bring the talent into circulation. He neatly stows it away, and it lies there dormant, without gaining interest. Soon the owner can take it again, and the rest of history is of no concern to him. When the servant was called to account, he hid himself behind the motivation of fear. He knew that when someone makes an error, his master would deal in a despotic fashion. Now then, he had hidden the treasure so that the Lord could not blame him that he had lost the money. But this excuse was soon rejected by his Lord, who leveled the accusation, "Slackness it is, laziness." And listen, for now the Lord held the servant to his own word. Did the employee know that the employer was a despot? That he caused another to sow for him so that he himself could reap in the end? And that he left the sowing in tears to the servants and did the reaping with shouts of joy himself? But if that was true, this man should not have feared the losing of the talent, but rather have feared the act of not doing anything with it. If an employer is only interested in the reaping, then everyone who respects him with fear and trembling will take care of only one thing, that he at least has something to deliver. That kind of fear at least makes sense. If the man had seriously considered that the Lord was a despot and nothing else, why then did he not sweat and toil? Why then did he not drag himself laboriously to the end of the field, on which one sows, harrows, ploughs, and threshes with weeping? Then the great, despotic landowner beyond the field would have obtained a large profit by the sweat of the workers. How foolish this man was, exactly from the basis of his own premise. Indeed, it is distinctively called that, a premise. It is the doctrine of the despotism of the great landowner. But that man did not even for a moment consider that premise. It was actually no premise. It was just a slogan. Here we have the sound of a solemn law of life. Ah, there are so many who do not know about the fatherhood of God. They only know of a slave driver with a rod, a God who drives and chases. Is that not a suitable resemblance of a tyrant? Despotism works in the world, and they do not know any other principle. The gospel of free grace did not captivate their conscience. And if these people were only consistent, they would not be able to find rest by day or night. That well-known jingle about the terrible rod of the slave driver that restlessly pursues us on our path would then be their only wisdom in life. It would be their only wisdom, but also their perfect wisdom. But is there even one that acts according to it? Is there even one that works continually, sweats continually, and toils continually? Ah, no. Faith in the complete despotism, as the ancient rule that sustains the world, finds no consistent adherence anywhere. That doctrine makes people careless and profane. And this carelessness is inconsistent. For if despotism is the dark background of the world, then only one morality will remain: work and more work. Who would convince himself that the despotism of the universe would be broken by one's own passive resistance? No man was ever serious when he refused to address God as Father, while only talking about him in an objective, theoretical way. He is a despot. Only one thing makes sense in life: faith. Only one force resists careless and profane people. It is the knowledge of free grace and having part in it. For when the work is done, he who believes knows that it is written that our fruit is found in God, and that in the end the Father, that despot, reaped where he himself had sown. Oh, the sense of life! Oh, the sense of thinking! It is so good to become, by the Father, a consistent man.